All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we continue on here in the text. Genesis 3, beginning now, verses 2 and 3, where we have Eve's pathetic defense. Let's not pick on the woman morning this morning, apart from Bible doctrine doing it. And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat." You have your wow consecutive. Then our verb to say here, cal and perfect third feminine singular, amar. A-M-A-R. The woman, definite article, with the noun common feminine singular absolute of isha. I-S-H-A-H. To the serpent, the other preposition, L-E-L, followed with the definite article, noun common masculine singular absolute, noun for serpent, snake, nakash, N-A-C-H-A-S-H. From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. Preposition men, from, M-I-N, plus the noun common masculine singular construct, peri, the fruit of, P-E-R-I. Of the trees, common masculine singular noun construct, ets, E-T-S, plus a definite article, noun common both singular absolute, of the garden, gan, G-A-N. We will eat or we may eat, the verb cal imperfect first common plural, akal, A-C-A-L. But, verse 3, from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden. The wow conjunction, but from, preposition men repeated, fruit, pari, in the construct, fruit of, the tree, definite article, or noun for tree, ets, E-T-S, repeated, which is in the middle of the garden. You have the relative pronoun, asher, A-S-H-E-R. Which is in, you have the preposition bait, the middle of, is a noun common masculine singular construct, tawek, T-A-W-E-K, the garden, definite article, noun, again, gone, the garden, God has said, again, our verb amar, followed with our noun for God here, common masculine plural, absolute Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. You shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. You will not eat is the negative lo preceding our verb akal, L-O plus akal. You will not eat from it, preposition men, M-I-N with your third masculine singular suffix, followed with your wow conjunction, or then our verb negated, nor touch it, or touch it. A lo, again, plus the cal imperfect second masculine plural, naga, N-A-G-A, to touch something, come in contact with. Follow the preposition, third masculine singular suffix, literally upon it or on it, bait, again, that Hebrew letter, unless you die. You have here the negative particle, pen, P-E-N, hard P, double consonant actually, P-E-N, less so as not to, follow with a cal imperfect second masculine plural, verb to die, muth, M-U-T-H. So as not to, or unless you die, you will die. All right, rereading the two verses here. Stay. And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, unless you will die." All right, the analysis, verses 2 and 3. 1, Eve now attempts to address the serpent with his gross distortion of God's words. As I have approached these verses, I'm taking the initial words of Satan as being one of naivety or ignorance, rather than surprise or condescending derision or anything of that nature. And Eve responds to help him in his ignorance. And he obviously misquotes God grossly in that regard. So too, as we have noted, her emotions have led her into uncharted waters as she oversteps her pejorative to feel this spiritual attack. The pejorative is the right to critique, to judge in regards to one's authority in expression. So she and the tool that Satan uses is the woman's emotions. She has approached the serpent in innocence, as a dumb animal needing correction and help, and she has determined with her emotions of feeling sorry, etc., towards him to attempt to address the doctrinal attack here in the garden, apart from appealing to her spiritual authority or right man, Adam. So 3, her rendition of what God said reveals her emotionally and thus spiritually unstable condition. What she has to say now is evidence of her emotions leading her, and hence not thinking precisely and clearly with doctrine, rather than she's leading with her how she feels in regards to the situation. So, she first omits all that God commanded in the opening clause, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat." 5, now while her words capture the general intent of his words, the general intent, she fails to include the emphasis on maximum grace. That is, God said that they were to, quote, eat freely. Akoel to sel. Eating, you will eat, literally in the Hebrew. To eat freely of all these things. So she excludes the maximum grace that God has attached to the garden and the trees and their privilege and enjoyment to eat of these things. So 6, by dropping the accent on divine generosity, God is a generous God, it reveals the subtle impact that Satan's words immediately have on her thinking. God is not a stingy God. He wants to bless immensely. He often withholds blessing because people's failure to line up with doctrine. But otherwise, he does, and he is very generous in regards to provision of life in and of itself. And her omission of his generosity, of his expression and evidence of grace, shows the subtle impact that Satan's word immediately have on her thinking. And that is 7, that is accuracy of Bible doctrine is not that important. Obviously, he came in, Satan's initial words were not accurate at all. So all these things now start having impact in a suggestive or subliminal way, now expressing itself in regards to leading with her emotions, and now how she articulates the doctrine that she does have in her soul. So 8, and that is that to be truly accurate, is not that big an issue. So she adopts the approach that as long as one gets, quote, the big picture, the general idea, the general intent, you see, of God's Word, that is all that is necessary. That's all that's necessary. And often that is the way doctrine is approached, unfortunately, by pastors as well as believers, to not be accurate in regards to their proclamation of doctrine. Just give them the big picture, that's all they need to know. Well, when you do, often you leave hanging very critical issues in regards to the doctrine at hand. This whole approach that we follow and word for word, verse by verse, approach to Bible doctrine is for a reason. That's because every word of the divine viewpoint of life, the Scriptures, the Bible, carries its own weight of importance. So she adopts the approach that as long as one gets the big picture or general idea of God's Word, that is all that is necessary. 9, it is typical for emotionalism to disregard anything not relevant to feeding the emotions. If you go based on how you feel, then really everything else centers on that. And if it's not important to your feelings, then you just tend to be sloppy or disregard in regards to the factual aspects of what's being addressed otherwise. You're angry, you want to say and do things to feed your anger or happiness or feeling sorry or whatever. See, that's how your emotions tend to roll unless you arrest them and put them in their proper place in regards to the doctrine itself. So 10, while we would not be overcritical of her response at this point, as she did capture the general intent, any way you look at it, the fact remains that if the emotions are not corralled, they will continue to influence one's thinking in a negative way. As minimal as it may seem, she left out one word, essentially. Eating freely. Well, what big deal is that? Well, as we will see, her thinking is now off track. It's already off track. And the fact that she does not corral her emotions, does not put these things in her proper perspective, make the adjustment, it will continue to influence her thinking. And 11, this is further evidence now in verse 3. The opening clause, but from the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, reflects her continued disorientation. 13, the noun middle here, which is tawet, is used to describe the exact location of the tree of life back in chapter 2, verse 9. Even though here she means the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, we're paying attention to each of the words. You just gloss over it, get your general intent, you miss all this of what we're addressing right now. See, the middle, that term, tawak, tawek, is what is used in regards to describe the exact location of the tree of life. But here, she means the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2:9, and out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to his sight and good for food. The tree of life, also in Toek, the middle, in the midst of the garden. And then, coinciding, as we noted, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the general location, same general location. So 14, while verse 3 documents what was surmised back in 2:9, that is, both super trees were in close proximity to each other towards the center area of the garden, it blurs the distinction of their exact location. Again, specific as an authority, that's an important thing to recognize when you're parents dealing with children, authority on jobs, etc., to give clear instructions, see, in regards to your orders so that people will know what's expected. So here, Eve is not exact. And while it does document for us that the tree of knowledge of good and evil is in the same proximity as the tree of life, the tree of life is the one that was in the middle, toek, of the garden. So 15, the woman is not a stickler for detail. Not this one. Not on the path that she's on. And again, that's exactly, hopefully you're following along here, it's exactly how emotions impact you often. They make you fuzzy in your thinking, see. 16, now that she saves her worst for last. In verse 3b, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it unless you die. Now there's two errors in that particular clause, not just one. While the one is obvious, the other is more subtle. So 17, she now couples a true statement with an absolutely false statement. That's the obvious one. God didn't say you couldn't touch it. He said simply not to eat from it. So 18, by adding or touch it, wow, lo, naga, bo, the preposition bait, she lies and is guilty of adding to the words of Elohim. She is guilty of adding to the words of Elohim. So 19, her words further evidence the impact of the serpent's subtle attack on her thinking concerning God's grace, that He is harsh and unnecessarily strict. The negative influence continues to worm its way in her thinking. That's because her guard's down. She's leading with her emotions. See. And she is out of step in regards to the proper application she should be making in regards to this situation. So the words further evidence the innuendo, the serpent, in regards to not eating of any of the trees. In other words, God's unfair. And He's extremely harsh, strict. That's the way a lot of people look at Christianity, the Bible. A lot of this is because of believers erroneous witness otherwise. You know, I can't be that good. You know. That's because they probably hang out with a lot of legalists. You know, the self-righteous, condescending types. God is not unnecessarily strict. In fact, His yoke is stated to be light. It's not that hard to show up to Bible class 4 hours out of the week. At least a couple hours out of the week. So 20, here's the first example of what we refer to as legalism. Legalism is a term coined to recognize exactly what Eve is now doing, adding to the Word of God. So 21, legalism is to advocate works or good deeds that are not divinely sponsored. God's Word holds with it in its entirety, in its whole, as well as in its parts, a perfect balance of perfection, of justice. And hence why we, and believers otherwise, are under the admonition not to jack with that. But mankind thinks they can be cute and do with it whatever they fantasize or feel like they want to do with it otherwise, in representation of it, quoting it, and things of this nature. So we have the first example now of legalism as it enters into the thinking of the woman in regards to trying to defend doctrine in this way. So 22, Eve has already approached the truth of Bible doctrine first by omission, dropping the freely of the eating of the fruit of the trees, and now by adding to it. So this gives you the sense, the idea of the instability and the ups and downs that emotions generally takes people in when it's not governed otherwise. So 23, this is exactly what God has warned against concerning His words. Deuteronomy 12:32. As example, in regards to the Exodus, the law, as Moses becomes the first author of the Scriptures in the Old Testament, and God in the written words, and the words that pass down to the Exodus, Moses in the Exodus, he makes it very clear not to get cute with this, to take it seriously in this fashion. In verse 32, whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to nor take away from it. He gives instructions for a reason. See, he adds all the words of the Bible for a reason. That's because they all have impact. They all have importance. And when you put it all together, then you come and you grasp the absolute righteous and perfect balance of what God's plan is all about. As you deal with all of the aspects, the spectrum of the highs and lows of living in a world that's Satan's world with an STA and trying to walk the straight and narrow of the truth of Bible doctrine otherwise. It gives you all of that, see. You know when to apply grace, when to apply judgment, what to do here, what your priorities should be in life, all these things, in any aspect of it. And people, churches that start to removing aspects of doctrine or adding to it, they destroy the intent and this perfect balance otherwise that God has laid out. And Eve has now obviously skewered God's word in both directions. And she's going to do it one more time before she's done here. So 24, now while most astute interpreters recognize that her embellishment here, the exaggeration, is legalistic, most commentaries either have no idea or do not attempt to explain why Eve added not to touch it. Why did she go this direction? Well, because I have approached the verses the way I have, I can at least offer a rational explanation. And that is, point 25, that we have approached the situation regarding Eve's natural proclivity towards emotionalism. We might suggest a rational explanation in this regard. 26, Eve's emotions have swung from sympathy or feeling sorry as a helper now to fear. Now to a sort of fear or a state of fear. 27, it is not a stretch to recognize that Eve senses an inherent danger in the situation at hand, and a sudden stroke of fear has now surfaced. The whole contemplation of this very alien situation before with the serpent, and now contemplating the ramifications and consequences of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Fear. Her emotions are gone already. Why wouldn't they go that direction? She's leading with it. And however she may be thinking about it. That definitely is a logical explanation of why she would now all of a sudden add this, not to touch it. See, not to even come in contact in regards to the tree itself. And the implication is she's looking at the whole thing, the tree, as well as the fruit, as it will come out in our verses. So 28, I would choose this alternative to the quote dumb blonde in quote mentality that no explanation otherwise might suggest. You know, when you leave it open it. That's the general thought. Well, how stupid can you get? She's not stupid. She's leading with her emotions. She has doctrine. She has a frame of reference. But she's leading with her emotions. And hopefully, if you don't learn anything else from Bible class, you'll learn how negative emotions can be in regards to the impact of our thinking otherwise. When emotions surface, just as the scripture says, you know, even sanctified fear progresses and advances spiritually, not one bit. Or not fear, but anger. Righteous anger. See, emotions. Again, emotions are designed to be a responder. You're happy. You're angry. You have compassion. You know, feel sorry. Things of this nature. It responds. It's not to be that which leads us. Doctrine is that which leads us. So now you know what I think about when I go through these verses. You evaluate, you critique, you put things together. And recognizing she's a helper, see. And she's female. And she's a subordinate in regards to the marital situation. So 29, her legalism exposes her emotional roller coaster ride. And now, a self-attempt, under the energy of the flesh, as we would say it, to restrain herself from any personal disobedience. The thought. See, all this is hitting her, and she's just not ready for it. That's because he tricked her into leading with her emotions. And the very thought of this whole thing, you know, and what it means to the consequences in regards to the fruit, and the suggestion of doing something wrong and evil, is already worming its way throughout her thinking. And she obviously consciously at this point still doesn't want to disobey God. And remember, when she does disobey God, still she's deceived into doing it. She's still tricked into doing it. And that's what makes this thing so challenging in regards to the interpretation. So 30, we know that Eve was thoroughly deceived, and emotions are the best culprit in explanation. Again, 1 Timothy 2:14, the woman was thoroughly, quite deceived. Let's see. 31, Eve obviously heard the doctor correctly. And to suggest that she is now simply rejecting it or purposely distorting it deflates what it means to, quote, being quite deceived, end quote. 32, fear's perception is often exaggerated. And we know in regards to the expression of fear, what it does to our thinking often. Fear generally exaggerates the whole thing. You're all wrapped around the axle often for nothing. Because you're afraid. See? That's the way governments and people have learned to try to control other people. Through fear. See, and they tend to start exaggerating everything around them. And they overreact and make bad decisions otherwise in life. So 33, fear easily transforms to legalism in one's efforts to avoid wrongdoing. Fear is often a step towards legalism. Thirty-four, with fear now prompting her thinking, her eyes are now fixed on the physical situation at hand. She has averted her spiritual vision to simply a physical plane. at this point in time. This is why the addition of the preposition with the suffix, the preposition bo, bait in the Hebrew, on it or upon it. Do not touch on it, see literally in the Hebrew, or do not touch upon it, is added to her touching the fruit. The preposition hints that she is now equating the touching with the immediate ramification of death. Once she puts her hands on it, see. Somehow some poison, somehow it's going to kill her there, right then and there, basically. Or shortly after. So 37, the temptation now is clearly setting in as she is now mentally picturing handling the fruit. A thought vacant beforehand. Some of this also suggests that she hasn't really considered this particular tree upon at any other level other than hearing the admonition not to eat of it or this as a consequence. And obviously, we recognize that Adam and Eve are not spiritually mature. They're still, if you will, infants, maybe going into adolescence, spiritually. But part of growing up spiritually is to contemplate doctrine. And often that means we regard things and think about things in their doctrinal perspective. See, not just to hear the doctrine in Bible class, go out, and assuming automatically you're going to, no, you know, I've been a sheep, I know. You sit there and ideas and examples in your own mind come out when doctrine is taught on many occasions. And it might otherwise, when you have doctrinal conversations with others around you, and you look at circumstances and situations, contemplate the doctrine, proper application. Obviously, if you don't have doctrinal conversations, you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But if you do, then you get my drift. See? So the temptation is clearly setting in. She's now, if you will, mentally picturing herself handling this fruit. So 38, that her eyes are on the physical further fits the pattern of her final omission. She omits another thing, as her final words are, lest so as you will not die. Lest you die. 39, God said, quote, dying you will die, end quote. Indicating both spiritual and physical realities. The complete doctrine is that first, spiritual death will occur. Then, physical death will follow. So there are two deaths in regards to the consequences, the result of consuming the fruit. So 40, Eve did not treat the words of Yahweh as if it were a life and death matter in its fullest sense. In its fullest sense. She's only concerned with one death, really, see, at this point in time in her thinking. So 41, it becomes fairly obvious that she is only thinking of the physical repercussions associated with it. 42, this provides the ammunition needed for Satan's opening response in the next verse, verse 4, as he openly lies and declares, you surely shall not die. You can see his tactic. I mean, it's really pretty cool when you get a handle on it. You see his tactic and how he's manipulating her. And she's under fear. He recognizes through her legalistic expression. See? And she's only thinking about physical death. Now he's going to alleviate that fear. No, you won't die. Now, Satan puts it in his proper terms. No, dying you will not die, but he doesn't care. He knows where she's going with her thinking. See, I'm getting the picture here. And then it's a matter of basically leading her to touch the tree. See, yeah, it's not going to kill you. See, you're not dead. Next thing, the fruit. And then the carrot dangling, the promise, regardless of what she does, what happens when she eats the fruit. See? So I gave the way the cat out of the bag on it, but you can see where it's going. So her eyes are on the physical and the repercussions of physical death. And this gives then the ammunition for Satan to step in with his lie, "You surely shall not die." 43, now back to our verse. Eve omits doctrine, adds to it, and then further omits it. So she leaves out a little bit, adds a little bit, and leaves out a little bit more. So 44, this teaches that liberalism, that's what we would refer to in modern vernacular in regards to leaving out, taken away, liberalism, and legalism adding to it, go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. And when practicing one, the other will, of necessity, find a place for expression. Hence, picturing for you, defining for you, the perfect balance of Bible doctrine as a whole. You cannot engage in legalism without engaging in omission of doctrine, liberalism, some other place in your life. Or vice versa. You leave out doctrine somewhere, you're going to become self-righteous or legalistic in another area of your life. It's evil. It's all human viewpoint in that regards. And it all fits in within the same bucket. And that's why God says, don't stray. Don't go right. Don't go to left. Do exactly the way I tell you to do it. This is why we are such a stickler for doctrine in regards to the function of this local church. See? To make sure that we're following Bible doctrine, not traditions of men and things of this nature. Not to go out and start including fun things like camps and all the other aspects that you see out there in the funding world to attract all the SDAs they can get in there so they can get their money. And otherwise, I'm not degrading their good intentions. So that we don't end up straying off and destroying the perfect balance of God's justice and the truth of Bible doctrine in that regards. And that's part of our test. That's part of our witness. That's part of our continued focus and drive. And as your, quote, spiritual leader, end quote, see, obviously, it's mandatory that I keep my focus that way. I start getting off and look out and no telling where it could end up if God doesn't kill me first. It's amazing how, you know, small bits of erroneous doctrine can, how much of a negative impact it can have overall in regards to things when you think about it. So 45, confusion doctrinally has clearly set in. And failure to reorient takes its toll. 46, from feeling sorry to fear propels Eve to distort God's words, from dismissing grace to further distortion of reality, that the tree's in the middle of the garden, leading to legalism, and now focus simply on the physical. She's lost the spiritual vision that she needs to have. 47. Are these not all components of legalism? Yes, they are. To dismiss grace, you distort the reality of the truth itself. The truth is a reality. That leads to legalism. And when you become a legalist, then your eyes are on the physical. The Jews developed a religious system of legalism under mainline Judaism, and their eyes are strictly on the physical, basically. Ritual. Got to be circumcised. Got to keep the law. All these things to be saved, see. So, when you look at the different parts that I'm trying to present here, and you put them together under the umbrella, then these things, in my own thinking at least, validates my interpretation of what's going on here. 48, while these things in and of themselves are not simple at this point for Eve. She doesn't have this STA yet. They lead to sin. They lead to sin. 49, while we might even color her fear as righteous to some degree. Now you don't want to disobey God and kill yourself. While we might even color her fear as righteous to some degree, it is fear that was spawned from energy of the flesh, not from application of Bible doctrine. It's the improper type of fear. It's fear that stems from the fact that she's put herself in a situation that she should not be in. See? So she treated her idyllic life in the garden with extreme carelessness on that fatal day. 51, she let her emotions get the best of her, refused to apply the appropriate doctrine, and has essentially become the first human false teacher. That's one that you won't find in many commentaries either. She truly has become the first human false teacher. She did not accurately represent and teach the truth of Bible doctrine to the serpent. She did not respond accordingly. So maybe now you know why God says, or Paul says, women don't teach in the church. It's not because they're less doctrinally astute. It's because of the nature and because of the influence that otherwise they may be susceptible to of being a female. Let's see. And for a woman to try to exercise authority, for anyone to suggest a doctrine, to me it's just so gross. To me it's almost as gross as some of the more phallic sins of life. One of the most gross things I ever attended in my life was watch a woman pastor marry people. It just gave me the heebie-jeebies. I didn't even have to sit down and listen to her try to preach from the pulpit. It just is not right. But we live in a society that condones it and approves it and supports it completely. And guess what? Believers are the ones that are ultimately guilty in regards to this. Because so many of them capitulate. Because husbands are not truly committed to Bible doctrine. They're not willing to exercise their authority in the household. And things of this nature. And it has its leavened effect in regards to all the surroundings and activities that they're involved in. So you see it, you catch it, you get out of line, you rebound it, you get back in line. But one thing you don't do is jack with the truth of Bible doctrine. Or else then you're off in the tules and you will have no place to turn. See? Apart from reorientation. 51 again, she let her emotions get the best of her, refused to apply the appropriate doctrine, and essentially become the first human false teacher. 52, all which could have been avoided if she simply had appealed to her proper spiritual authority. The one application she needed to make, I'll do this. I got this one. I hope you're good. I mean, it's just basically her whole spiritual life. 53, she is now set up for the kill in verse 4. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten these things. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll have the baptism about 12:15 if you want to attend.